Welcome to Wine and Weirdos,
A spooky little podcast.
where we talk about cryptids
Ghosts.
and all things creepy. How you doing?
I'm fucking exhausted, kid. This week has been.
Sips drink. This
It's
week has been.
water, but.
Oh, I have my water and I have my drink.
My tummy was feeling upset, so I'm like, water. I don't know if you've been following along with what's been going on with like Reddit and some
Yes.
stocks.
Yes. Stonks.
Stonks. I'm dying is what's happening. Because for anyone that doesn't know, I work in customer service for an investment firm.
Yep. You do.
I'm gonna ask everyone to please stop yelling at me.
Dead ass. I'm about to hack into figure out all the people you've talked to in chats, and I'm just gonna make a hit list. For legal reasons, that's a joke.
If my compliance department ever listens to this, for legal reasons, that's a joke. I've also never released any PPI to anyone at all.
I'm just gonna redact the name of the investment firm.
It's fine.
Sam works at redacted.
I work at redacted.
It's like CIA
Redacted.
documents for really low-level shit. Just redacted.
Like, it's not even on my social media where I work.
Yeah. While you're drinking water,
I am. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a rum and coke, but with a twist. It's black spiced rum instead of just rum.
Oh.
It's fancy. And Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay, ma'am.
I don't like coke.
So it's a Dr. Pepper and Coke, or Dr. Pepper and rum.
Yes.
Okay. Something I got really excited about this weekend was that I found out that Mariah Carey made her own cookie line.
Oh my God,
Like,
what?
she made her own cookie franchise.
Will they make you a
Like,
skinny
hold on.
legend?
No, that's only for her.
It's not gonna make me a skinny legend like Mariah Carey. I don't want them.
Okay, I will say that they're like fucking overpriced.
I figured. Have you ever looked at Gwyneth Paltrow's website? Oh, you got them.
Oh, I got them. I have no impulse control, and I really wanted cookies that I wasn't gonna make them. I'd been in the cold for like 4 hours that day. I was like, all right, I'm done with this. But yeah, I got them. They're pretty good. They were like $15 for six cookies.
My God.
But like, they also messed up my order, so I got refunded $9.
Okay. So you paid a
But it
dollar
was
a
like a
cookie.
weird experience. Yeah, it's $1 a cookie.
I do have a lot of friends in the Discord. They really liked this Russian sleep experiment episode, so a lot of them are just going through and listening to all of our episodes now.
I love you.
Yeah, to those of you in the Discord server, a what up? It's your boy, Skinny Penis.
Wait, is this the Discord server? Is this one of the two I'm in?
Yes, this is the just the general one, not the Among Us one.
I will be honest, I had to mute one of the servers.
I mean, that's perfectly valid. I'm an admin in the server that Luna invited me to, and then I actually now run another server. And then I, out of impulse, was like, you know what? It's 2 a.m. You just opened mod applications for the server I haven't been in very much. I'm just gonna apply. And they're like, you're in. And I was like, wait, what? Because they were also awake at 2 a.m.
But no, the one that you invited me to, the one that has Luna in it, the messages don't stop, and I was like, I work all day, and it's just constant buzzing.
Yeah, they it is good though because they also don't do anything. So like I'll be like doing classwork and stuff, but I'll also be on a VC with people like while I'm in class. Because if anything is going to make me feel better about taking an environmental ethics philosophy course at 8 a.m., it's going to be being in a VC with them.
That sounds horrible. I'm so sorry.
I'm just like, Chad won't shut the fuck up.
Fucking Chad.
Looking Chad. That's not even his name, but he just feels like a Chad.
That's solid.
Well, Sam, would you like to tell them what we're going to be discussing this week and next week?
Yeah, so this week and next week, we're doing a nice little re-record of an episode that was supposed to happen, what, like 7 episodes ago?
Yeah, it was supposed to be episode 18 and 19.
Yep, and we're on episode 25 and 26,
Don't look
question
at me. I
mark.
just edit them. I just work here. I don't know.
Unless they're saying that, listen, I just work here. Like me at work. What are you guys gonna do about this? I just work here.
Think it's 24. I think I uploaded 23 last week. Now I'm going to look.
I even did look at this earlier because I was like starting my notes.
This is going to be, yeah, episode 23 was last week, so we're going to have 24 and
Yeah.
25.
Okay, so this is episode 24 and 25. And what's going on is that I was up in the Asheville area to see Alexis back in fucking September, October,
November,
November.
because it was the week before Thanksgiving.
Time is a construct.
Ooh.
And we were like, wow, we're actually in the same area. Let's record together. And then something fucky happened with the audio. So now we're here. So we will be discussing the 27 Club for the next 2 episodes.
Yeah,
Buckle up and
the answer
enjoy.
is just that Sam's a really loud bitch. Sam, I could only hear your audio.
Okay, first of all, fuck you.
Sam, you are a loud bitch. You literally, I was like, I can only hear you, and you said, yeah, I'm a loud bitch. Like when I was texting
I'm
you
a
while I was
loud
editing.
bitch. I need tempo. Fuck it up to the tempo.
Yeah, but I'm excited for this because I kind of, at some point in time, I want to re-record some of the older episodes just because I can edit them now, and we don't have what happened during the first Malaysia flight episode where everyone was like, this is really sad, I'm gonna cry, but then I was also like, and then
Life is hard and podcasts are difficult. You know what doesn't make it difficult? Our spot. No, I was like, let's go into an ad.
oh no, our ad's at the
But we have
beginning.
ads.
We recorded our ad last week for Anchor, and so now
Yeah.
it's at the beginning of our episode. So,
I just love like really bad transitions in podcasts, like especially true crime ones where it's like, yeah, and he murdered his entire family, and that's totally sucks. You know what doesn't suck? Best Fiends. And like, I think it's hilarious.
yeah, so 27 Club. We just got so off track.
27 Club. Yeah, but we're gonna be covering the 27 Club. This week, Alexis is gonna go first because we assigned these positions far before we started doing the one kind of topic and episode. And hers was the early stuff, and mine was the later stuff. So Alexis is gonna be running our episode this week.
Yes, so welcome to episode 24. I'm eating salad. Yeah, so 27 Club, a couple of announcements, I say as I'm coming up with these off the top of my head. We have officially switched everything over to Anchor. I am trying to figure out how it works because it's not uploading. It doesn't upload to them everywhere that I normally upload because we had a lot of ones that people don't really use. But it gave me the option to, but I mean, they're going places that people listen. You can also listen on Anchor, as because they have things there. Please listen through our little ad at the beginning of the episodes because I would love money. That's it. Send tweet. I would love money.
Essentially, we do this for free. At this point, basically all of our like Patreon stuff just goes to like funding our platform, and that's it.
Yeah, we do have three patrons though. So again, quick shout out and thank you to
Hi,
Adam
Mom.
from the Discord server, Adina, Sam's mom, and I don't know, my brain was like from the birth of Sam.
From the removal of Sam.
And the Nick from the UNCA. Thank you.
Nick, for this week, you can keep your kneecaps.
Maybe. Tentatively.
Yeah,
Tentative
it
me.
just. But yes, my mother occasionally listens to our episodes, apparently. Maybe.
And then this is a re-record of episode 18 and 19. I'm very excited to re-record this because I was very sad that I could only hear Sam. Another announcement that I thought of because I was listening to the Triad this week, because I go through all of my people that have uploaded episodes between when I'm working and when I'm not working. And they were talking about, they were like, yeah, we were thinking about doing like a Discord Patreon, but we only, or a Patreon Discord, but we only have one patron. And I'm just sitting there like, it's me. So go listen to
You're literally.
the They're really funny. I love them. You all, if you subscribe to their Patreon, you can go see, they did a reading of Peppa, which is Hannah's cat, Peppa's star chart. Peppa's an absolute gremlin. We love it. Yeah, but go listen to their stuff because their stuff's really good and they're from Chicago, so they have a lot of really fun commentary about Chicago and St. Louis. And they also supplied most of the notes for the 1904 Summer Olympics episode.
Really love the triad.
We love the Triad. I keep thinking about messaging them about doing a collab, but then I get nervous. Which
I
is funny because I
mean,
literally have their phone numbers. Like, I've texted them,
Jesus Christ, Alexis.
but I get nervous. Debbie Ryan's because I'm scared of rejection. But yeah, they're really cool. Go listen to the Triad. They're lovely. Anyway, let's 27 Club this shit. So, my sources, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them that are all Wikipedia articles.
As you know, that's the whole background. That's the backbone of this podcast.
Yeah, go donate to Wikipedia. We'll say, we said it once, we've said it 23 times at least, and we'll say it again. Go donate to Wikipedia. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. This has been an ad for Wikipedia that we aren't paid for.
Wikipedia can't afford to pay us right
Yeah, I
now.
was like, Wikipedia sponsor us, but only if you can. So then my other sources, I have a BMJ.com article, an independent article, and an article from Mike.com.
Just Mike.
Mike.
Like, sorry, I thought you had like this little pause in there, just like from Mike. And I was like, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a, I don't know if it's like a magazine or just a website, but it feels like it would be a magazine. But yeah, Mike.com. And then context and shit. I'm covering the beginning of the kind of history of the 27 Club through the 80s, the 1980s to be specific. Not the 1480s as we all might have thought. I say as only I thought it. So I reused my notes from the last one and edited it, and I just put, what the fuck is this club and how do I get in it? So basically, the 27 Club is a group of mostly musicians, but it includes actors and artists. It's, quote, super exclusive, end quote, squad of people who died at the age of 27. And then I put TBH squad goals. And then during the original recording, Sam yelled at me.
It doesn't hurt as much this time.
You all been new. You've been new. So this whole thing starts with a man named Robert Johnson. He's dope. So Robert Johnson was born in 1911 in Mississippi. He is considered to be a master of blues music and specifically the Delta blues style. He played a lot of secular music, so a lot of people started the rumors after he died that he had sold his soul to the devil. And so they think that he did it at a crossroads. And I put Dean Winchester style baby. So he was rumored to have taken his guitar to a crossroad near Dockery Plantation at midnight to make a deal with the devil to become a famous blues musician. According to the story, and all of this is in parentheses, this is a quote, I don't, it feels weird. a large black man who was a devil in disguise, and then I put their words, not mine, and then I put another set of parentheses, their words meaning Wikipedia, took in tune the guitar for Johnson. He played a few songs, the devil did, and handed it back to him, making him a master of the guitar from that moment forward. I mean, I wish it was that easy.
God, like, what would you do for any skill you wanted that all you had to do was, like, go to the devil and be like, hey, play this instrument for me, and he's like, oh, here you go.
I don't know. To quote everyone in my Discord server, $20 is $20. I'd do a lot for less. Yeah, so in 1938, at the age of 27, and I put massive foreshadowing, Johnson died.
Oh, wow. Who would have seen this coming in an episode about the 27 Club? I'm shocked.
But it was not known that he had died into a musicologist, which I didn't realize was a thing, but a musicologist was researching him and found his death certificate that listed only the date and location of his death. And it was rumored that he died from complications from syphilis, but that's not why we're here today.
No.
That would be a really short story. It's like, okay, have a good day, everyone. Sam, when do our episodes drop?
Wednesday.
So, legend has it that he sold his soul to the devil for a set amount of time of fame before his soul would be taken to hell. So the theory is that the devil came back and killed him and took his soul to hell because he had outlived his time. Basically, the theory is that he had been taken to taken his soul to hell by the devil. Rhymes. Other accounts, other than the syphilis one and the one that he sold his soul to the devil, say that he flirted with a married woman at one of his concerts and he got poisoned by the husband. They handed him a bottle of whiskey that was poison, and the wife was like, don't do that. And then he gave it back to him, and he was like, but. Which, like, me too.
I mean,
is this whiskey or perfume? I chugged the whole thing and said, it's perfume.
It's perfume. Maybe it was just, like, another mislabeled bottle. Like, he thought it was gin, but it was actually cleaning solution.
So, his gravesite is unknown because they didn't give him a gravestone because he was black in the 1930s.
Which, as we know, in the 1930s in America, apparently was, like, the most heinous crime.
Also, being black in 2021 apparently is also the most heinous crime.
That's also a pretty heinous crime right now. You're definitely correct.
Again, we've said it at least 23 times, and we'll say it again, ACAB.
Yeah, if anyone was confused about this podcast, like, stance at this point, I'm worried about you, too, ACAB.
ACAB? Period. So, some of his big things, a lot of his fame came after he died, as it is with a lot of really popular artists like Van Gogh. And I saw a really sad TikTok where it was like, she dies and then she goes to hell and she's like, where is he? And the devil or the angel's like, who are you talking? And she just decks him and then goes up and just runs into a room and Van Gogh's there. And she was like, hi. And he was like, hi, is that my painting? And she was like, yeah, everyone really loves you. And then he was really happy, and then he was friends with Bob Ross in heaven, and my heart broke! So, yeah. That's a big trope. So if this podcast doesn't blow up now, hopefully it blows up after I die. Sam better still be alive and doing it, because we know damn good and well I'm dying before Sam.
I mean, I guess I gotta.
I keep telling people, they're like, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, can you at least send Sam a text and tell them exactly what happened?
Can you just give Sam the login information for everything? Thanks.
So, as with a lot of famous artists, he was not really popular until long after he had died. Some of his things that he was given in 1980, he was put into the Blues Hall of Fame as a performer. 1986, he was taken into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for early influence. 1990s, he got a Grammy Award for the Best Historical Album, and it was the Complete Recordings. 1991, he got a Blues Music Award for the reissue album of the Complete Recordings. 1994, he got a commemorative stamp from the U.S. Postal Service.
We back our boys in blue.
The only valid boys in blue except for service animals, like cop dogs. 1995, he was put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 500 songs that shaped rock and roll for the song Sweet Home Chicago, Crossroad Blues, Hellhound on My Trail, and Love in Vain, which again, Hellhound on My Trail.
Really didn't help his not selling my soul to the devil thing.
I'm just over here like, he been new. Thank you. But, and also Crossroad Blues, that also didn't help him very much.
No, it did not.
1998, he was in the Grammy Hall of Fame for Crossroad Blues. 2000, he was in the Mississippi Musicians Hall of Fame as a blues pioneer. 2003, he was put into the National Recording Registry for the complete recordings. 2006, he was given a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award as a performer. 2015, he was in Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Guitarists of All Time. He was number 71, and that was down from his number 5 on the list in 2003.
Yeah, but still, like, nearly 80 years after his death. Like...
Yeah. So I did some research into the 27 Club. Otherwise, kind of some scientific sources. Oh. So I read an article, Is 27 Really a Dangerous Age for Famous Musicians? A retrospective cohort study by the British Medical Journal article posted on December 20th, 2011. Quote, the list of well-known musicians who've died at age 27 may look like more than a coincidence. Amy Winehouse, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, and Brian Jones, to name a few. But their age is unlikely to have been the cause of their demise, according to the research in the Christmas issue published on VMJ.com today. While fame may increase the risk of death for musicians, probably due to their rock and roll lifestyle, the risk is not limited to age 27. So the authors led by Adrian Barnett from Queensland University of Technology in Australia. To test the 27 Club hypothesis, the authors compared the mortality of famous musicians with that of the UK population. They included 1,046 musicians, solo artists, and band members who had a number one album in the UK charts between 1956 and 2007. During this period, 71, or 7%, of the musicians died. The sample included crooners, death metal stars, rock and rollers, and even Muppets, the actors, not the puppets, which I still think is hilarious.
Like, they had a preference, or they had a say, like, guys, not the fucking puppets, you know that, right? And they were like, might as well put this in here, just in case.
Am I a man, or am I a Muppet? Or am I dies a Muppet? Of an overdose. Am I a Muppet? Guess I'm a Muppet of a man.
I'm a Muppet man.
Dies of an OD, I'm a Muppet of a man. Good night. I will see myself out. The total follow-up time was 21,750 musician years. The authors used mathematical analysis to determine the significance of age 27. They found no peak in the risk of death at this age. However, musicians in their 20s and 30s were 2 to 3 times more likely to die prematurely than the general UK population. The research team found some evidence of a cluster of deaths in those aged 20 to 40 in the 1970s and early 1980s. Interestingly, there were no deaths in this age group in the late 80s. Sorry. And the authors speculate that this could be due to the better treatments for heroin overdose or the change in the music scene from hard rock's 1970s to the pop-dominated 1980s. The authors conclude that the 27 Club is based on myth, but warn that musicians have a generally increased risk of dying throughout their 20s and 30s. They say, quote, this finding should be of international concern as musicians contribute greatly to the population's quality of life, so there is an immense value in keeping them alive and working as long as possible, end quote. And we did have a conversation during the original recording that we thought that that was bullshit.
Okay, but, like, if you think about it, like, the fact that they did have better treatment for heroin overdoses and drug overdoses in general probably did reduce the number for the 80s.
Yeah, it's just the idea that creators aren't as valuable to us as humans as they are as entertainers, and they're more valuable alive because they give us entertainment. And I just don't like that. That gives me a weird sick feeling in my stomach. And I don't have a very large following on any of my social medias, but the amount of comments I've gotten from people on some of my TikToks. Creators are not seen as humans. They're seen as entertainment-producing beings. And I think that saying that we have a better reason to keep them alive than dead, it's like, your reason should be that they are human beings. Not that they give you entertainment value, because they are human beings. Thank you!
I mean, we are a weirdly consumeristic driven society, and your biggest modes of consumerism is going to be entertainment. So yeah, we're gonna give more fucking value to those that entertain us than we are than a stranger on the street. Yeah, we should care about people because they are people, but people are gonna be more inclined to care about someone if they're famous.
That's dumb, and I hate it. I care greatly about
Like,
entertainers,
when
but also, if I was in a burning building and I could save any random person versus a musician, I would have a hard time because it would be like they're both humans. Not that, oh, Jared Padalecki's a really great actor, so therefore I should save him first. It would be, I would have a conflict because they're both humans, not because he's an actor, because they're both humans.
okay, but like, think about it as which death would sadden you more? Robin Williams or someone's 90-year-old grandma that died that same day? That you don't know.
See,
You didn't know Robin Williams.
I don't know. I feel like I am more personally affected when people I know die than actors. Because the people I know gave me so much more value than a show that I watch a couple times. And that's why I think everyone should treat all of them like humans, because just because, oh, they die, or oh, they're in rehab, and so we're gonna shit talk them because they're in rehab, they still have family and friends that care about them. So, like, why are you treating them like that? Like the John Mulaney thing, that when people were shit talking him for being back in rehab, it's like he's a human being that needs to take care of himself. I'm sorry that his tweets aren't going to be funny to you because he's in rehab, so he can't tweet. Like, shut the fuck up. He's a person.
I'm sorry, people are bullying John
Yeah, they were
Mulaney.
like, oh, he talks about so much over how he overcame his addictions and now he's back in rehab, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
Yeah, 'cause he has a fucking addiction. Just because he was clean and sober for a couple of years doesn't mean that he no longer had an addiction to drugs and alcohol. He still had the addiction. He was just managing a bit better. But then there was a fucking pandemic.
the amount of suicides increased greatly during quarantine. There were like 40,000 suicides more than usual during the quarantine in 2020.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, treat artists and creators like people, not like things that you use for your own capitalistic desires. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. So another article, why the 27 Club is a myth. Jimi Hendrix and Amy Winehouse may be members, but that doesn't make it real. It's an independent article by Diana Theodora Kenny, which I love the name Theodora. I think that's a dope name.
It is a dope name.
This was posted on April 3rd, 2015. In a population of dead musicians spanning 7 decades from 1950 to 2010, for which an accurate age of death can be identified, the number of participants was 11,054. 1% or N equals 128 died at 26. 1.4 N equals 153 died at 28. And 1.3% N equals 144 died at 27. Age 56 had the highest frequency of deaths, 2.2 or N equals 239. Notables dying at this age included Eddie Rabbit, Tammy Wynette, Mimi Farina, Johnny Ramone, Chris Ledoux, Vandy Smokey Hampton, and Charles Baby Tate. What percentage of pop musicians need to die at age 27 to support the existence of the 27 Club? Here's a thought exercise we can submit to statistical scrutiny to answer the question. How many pop musicians need to die at the age of 27 to justify the notion of the 27 Club? The actual proportion is 1.3%. Do we need 1.4, 1.5, 1.6, 2, or 2.5% of popular musicians to die at the age of 27 to conclude that 27 is associated with a higher risk of death than other ages? We could test this question using a simple chi-squared test, which reading this made my brain hurt because I have a lot of thoughts surrounding chi-squared tests and all of them are bad. Which assesses whether there is a significant difference between the expected frequency, i.e. specified proportions of death at 27, and the observed frequency of actual deaths, a minimum of 1.5 to 1.6% of deaths in the population need to occur at age 27 to justify the 27 Club statistically. It is at this number that the chi-squared value exceeds the critical chi-square. In other words, the actual number of deaths is significantly less than the number would be needed to die at 27 if the 27 Club hypothesis were correct based on numbers alone. But even at 1.6% of deaths occurring at age 27, Few would argue that this constitutes a sufficiently large proportion of deaths. Other investigations, for example, one by Eric Sigalstad and Martin Wolkowitz, have concluded that the age of 27 does not bestow any greater risk of death in popular musicians than other ages. Notwithstanding, all of these studies have identified an increased risk of death in pop musicians during the younger decades of the lifespan compared with the general population. Sampling strategy and sample size varied between studies, but the conclusions were essentially the same as my recent research findings that pop musicians die younger than the general population. Wolkowitz and his colleagues studied the 1,046 musicians who had a number one album in UK between 1956 and 2007 and found that the death rate per 100 musician years for age 27, 0.57 deaths, was similar for other ages, age 25, which was 0.56, 32, which was 0.54. They concluded there was no peak in risk at 27 years, but observed a 2 to 3-fold increase in death for British pop musicians with number one albums between 20 and 39 years compared with the general UK population. So basically, what all of that is saying that statistically, 27 is not a the 27 club is not statistically
It's not a
correct.
significant
Yeah,
threat.
there's not a significant difference in deaths at the age of 27, and actually the highest number of deaths for musicians or performers is 56. So 27 club statistically doesn't make sense. Another article, Why So Many Rock Stars Die at 27, explained by Science, a Mike article by Zachary Stockhill on May 20th, 2014. In 2011, British researchers surveyed one 15, my God, 1,500 performers over a 40-year period. They compared rock stars' average lifespans to non-rock stars from the same periods. So Elvis's lifespan would be compared to the average lifespan of other men who were 21 when he released Hound Dog in 1955. The researchers found, quote, North American pop stars were 87.6 as likely to be alive, percent as likely to be alive as non-rock stars of the same age and ethnicity, the lowest survival rate of any group identified in the study, end quote. Although less likely to die prematurely, Euro rock stars were on average more likely to die young than non-rock star Europeans. That, of course, completely fails to explain Keith Richards. Drug and alcohol overdoses were among the most common causes of death, which comes as no surprise given that the average rock star has access to an illicit pharmacy whenever he or she seeks it out. Author Howard Soons lists 50 unofficial members in his book, The 27 Club, the majority of whom had serious substance abuse problems. That culture, coupled with the emotional lives that inspire many musicians to write and perform, provide the perfect set of circumstances for an early death. Additionally, Stones pointed out that most members of the club had strikingly different childhoods, producing emotional wounds that would inspire artists like Cobain and Hendrix to look at drugs, alcohol, and music as a means of self-medication. So basically, I'm summing all of this up because I had a lot of notes here, and quoting them is hard. So to sum this all up, basically, a lot of people that are famous for music and things like that had music that inspired a lot of people, usually had different afflictions and different issues that caused them to turn to drugs and alcohol. So them having harder lives significantly led to them dying young, but that doesn't mean that it is more statistically significant for it to happen. So considering a lot of them were drug or alcohol overdoses, then that kind of goes to the they needed some mental help and they needed better coping mechanisms, which I'm looking at my own drink sitting there and I'm like, wow, do as I say, not as I do. But yeah, a lot of artists die young because of things like a drug and alcohol that they have an addiction to.
Right.
Moral of the story. Which again, we need to treat them as people, not as capitalistic producers. So yeah, they need better access to mental health care because if they have so much access to alcohol and drugs, they should have equally as likely chances to have access to therapy. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Free health care for all, let everyone have access to therapy. Thank you. I yell as I stare up at my ceiling, hoping my parents hear this.
Imagine thinking this is like a hot take and like something that we shouldn't just be providing.
Stares up at the ceiling where my parents are. So I'm going to go through a list of some of the well-known members of the 27 Club. Obviously, the first is Robert Johnson, who is a blues singer. He died August 16th of 1938 of unknown causes. Nat Jaff, a swing jazz pianist, died August 5th, 1945 of complications from high blood pressure. Jesse Belvin, an R&B singer, died February 6th, 1960 of a car crash. Rudy Lewis, vocalist of the Drifters, died May 20th, 1964 of a drug overdose. Joe Henderson, an R&B and gospel singer, died October 24th, 1964 of a heart attack, which my brain, when I see heart attack at the age of 27.
Yeah, that's really young.
And that's when you know it was probably related to something that involved drugs or alcohol. But having that be the actual cause of death for someone at the age of 27 just makes me sitting here at 22 just like, am I going to die of a heart attack?
I mean, likely no, but I get you.
Yeah. Rudy, oh, I did that one already. Rockin' Robin Roberts, which that's a fucking name. Say that five times fast. Rockin' Robin Roberts, Rockin' Robin Roberts, Rockin' Robin Roberts, Rockin' Robin Roberts, Rockin' Robin Roberts. I just end up going, singer of the Fabulous Wailers, died December 22nd, 1967 of a car crash. Malcolm Hale, lead guitarist of Spanky and Our Gang, died October 30th, 1968 of carbon monoxide poisoning. Dickie Pride, rock and roll singer, died March 26, 1969 of a drug overdose. Brian Jones, Rolling Stones co-founder and guitarist, died July 3rd, 1969 of drowning. And because he was more popular, I have a little bit more information on him. He was an English musician and composer, and he co-founded and was the original leader of the Rolling Stones. In June of 1969, he was dismissed from the group after a long time of drug and alcohol abuse, and Mick Jagger took over his role as guitarist. He died on July 3rd of that year in a pool from drowning, and his death was labeled as death by misadventure by a coroner. Yes.
Death by misadventure always sounds like such a weird way to go. Like, oh, how'd he die? It was a misadventure.
That's what they put a lot of stars as, because they don't want to say drug overdose. It's usually considered death by misadventure. Alexandra, German Schlager, which is a style of European popular music that is generally a catchy instrumental accompaniment to vocal pieces of pop music with simple, happy-go-lucky, and often sentimental lyrics. She was a vocalist. I had to look it up because I didn't know what a Schlager was. But it's a style of music. And she died July 31st, 1969 of a road accident. Alan Blind Owl Wilson, who was the leader and singer of Canned Heat, died September 3rd, 1970 of a barbiturate overdose, which was possibly a suicide. Jimi Hendrix, an electric guitarist, singer, and songwriter, died September 18th, 1970 of asphyxiation. He was one of the most influential guitarists of all time, even though his career only actually spanned for 4 years. He was known to abuse drugs and alcohol and mix them a lot. And his death was caused by asphyxiation on his own vomit after intoxication from barbiturates.
Yeah, whenever you hear the 27 Club, most people automatically go to Jimi Hendrix and Amy Winehouse, which I'll cover her later. But like, Jimi Hendrix is definitely one of those ones that like you're going to think about them first.
Yeah. I know, like, they're not in the 27 Club, but I listened to a podcast recently about the Brittany Murphy death. And she was 32, but she was still really young. She actually died from pneumonia in an overdose from non-prescription medications like cough syrup and stuff she had been mixing to deal with the pneumonia. And she had actually, the day she died, I think, Saturday night, and she had made an appointment for Monday at the doctor's, but she never made it to the doctor's. So, her bitch-ass mom, which I don't think she would possibly be listening to this, but if you're listening to this, I blame you for your daughter's death. You should have taken her to the fucking doctor. And then why did you date your son-in-law after that?
Yeah, that's
gross. They continued to live in the house together and slept in the same bed. And then a year later, he died from the same thing. I'm not saying it's a cover-up.
But I'm not saying it.
Thank you. Brittany Murphy affected me a lot when she died because I loved her movies. She's most famous for Clueless. She was Ty in Clueless. But I really liked when I was younger, one of my comfort movies, and one it's still one of my comfort movies, but I just haven't watched it since she died because I know it'll break my heart. It was Uptown Girl, which is such a good movie. If no one's ever seen it, I highly recommend it.
I do remember it,
It's
yeah.
a really good movie. I loved it a lot because I love Brittany Murphy because she just seemed like so cool. And then my family used to say I looked like Dakota Fanning when she was younger. We do have, when she was younger and when I was younger, we have an uncanny resemblance. So Brittany Murphy, any of the stars that die young, they kind of just, they hit me hard. But, you know, it is what it is.
No, it's not what it is.
Like Amy Winehouse. When you cover Amy Winehouse, I'm gonna cry again. I cried during the last one, and I'm gonna cry this
I
time.
know. I know.
God, I loved her. So the next person I'm gonna talk about is Janis Joplin. She was the lead vocalist and songwriter for the Big Brother and Holding Company. She died October 4th, 1970, of a drug overdose. She was known to be an active drug user, and she used heroin a lot. She had a solo career in 1969 and 1970. When she didn't show up for her recording appointment, her body was found in a hotel room. Alcohol was present, but there was no drugs or paraphernalia at the scene. But it's suspected, and I listened to a podcast episode about this, it's suspected that her friends who found her removed vital evidence to the scene of drugs and drug paraphernalia and cleaned it up before they called the authorities to cover up the fact that she probably died of a drug and alcohol overdose.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to say I blame them. I feel like it would be really hard to call an ambulance for someone that you're close to and have it known that they died of something like that when they had been supposedly getting over it.
Absolutely. I mean, because there's definitely like this huge stigma, and like you said, she was getting over it, so that probably made
Yeah,
it
she
like
was supposed to be
way
getting over it
worse.
because I think that she had been cut off from a couple recording labels because of her drug and alcohol use. But they know that she did die of a drug and alcohol overdose because they found heroin in her system.
Yeah, like the talk screen never really lies.
Yeah. So next is Arlister Dyke. I did not finish saying it because I forgot that.
You gotta
I just
call Hannah.
Cool. Arlister, that word Christian, he was a frontman for and the Blazers. Anyway, so that person whose name I can't say died on March 13th, 1971 from mortar.
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 He was moited.
Yeah, I want to see how he got murdered. Oh, he was a black man.
Oh.
He was shot and killed by an unstable man in the street in Phoenix, Arizona.
That tracks.
If you're so unstable that you shoot and kill someone, no.
I'm sorry, did you say police force? Is that what I heard?
ACAB. I mean, it didn't say that the guy was a cop.
No, but like the whole shooting someone because you're
Oh yeah.
unstable.
So next is Jim Morrison, who is the leader of the Doors, or was the leader of the Doors. He died July 3rd, 1971, of heart failure, quote unquote. I listened to multiple podcast episodes about this too, because this is a really controversial death.
What was controversial about it?
Well, you see. He was found in his Parisian apartment he rented with his girlfriend. His girlfriend had gone to bed and he had been doing drugs that night. And she found him dead and then I think called like her brother or someone before she called the paramedics. And then because it's not required by law at that time to do an autopsy, they refused for an autopsy to be done. So there's a theory that she might have killed him.
Might.
I mean, basically, heart failure was listed as the cause of death, but witnesses say it might have been a drug overdose, because they saw him using drugs. But the thing was that he had been apparently, at the time, according to the podcasts and the documentary I watched, he had been trying to get off drugs. They think she might have forced drugs upon him. and killed him. Because she was also a known drug user at the time. There was a lot of shit there. It's kind of like the Kurt Cobain one. There's a lot of shit there. There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot of shit there.
I would love to do an episode on Kurt Cobain. I've listened to so many.
You want to do a whole episode?
Honestly, yeah. I've listened to so many podcasts and watched so many documentaries about his death. I don't think he killed himself. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
So next is Linda Jones. She was a soul singer. She died March 14th, 1972 of complications from diabetes. Leslie Harvey, guitarist for Stone the Crows, which I think is a dope band name. Stone the Crows. I love it. They died May 3rd, 1972 of electrocution, which...
Continue.
Yes. Next is Ron Pigpen McKernan, who was the founding member and singer for the Grateful Dead. He died March 8th, 1973 of gastrointestinal hemorrhage from alcoholism. And this one I put a lot in here because this one made me really sad. In his mid-20s, his alcoholism had greatly affected his physical health, so he had a lot of health issues from it. He experienced symptoms from an unrelated congenital primary biliary cholangitis, which is a rare autoimmune disease. June 17th, 1972, he performed his last show with the band after health issues kept him from continuing to perform. And the last thing that a lot of his band members had, like he had said when he spoke to them, he cut ties with the group and he said, "I don't want you around when I die." He knew he was going to die from it. And that's why he left the group.
It's really sad.
It's really sad. Yes. Roger Lee Durham, he was a singer and percussionist for Bloodstone, which again, that is also a really cool band name.
I love that.
Bandstone the Crows. Bloodstone the Crows. Bloodstone the Crows. It's just a cover band of both of their bands.
Stop it.
Bloodstone the Crows. TM, 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 TM. He died March 8th, 1973 from injuries after falling off a horse.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I get it. If you fall off a horse, like, it's not great. But also,
horses
like,
are terrifying.
That's how you're gonna...
So, next is Wallace Wally Yone. He was the organ player for Chase. He died August 12th, 1974 from a plane crash. Dave Alexander, the bassist of the Stooges, died February 10th, 1975 of a pulmonary edema, which again, how are these young people getting these sort of things? I just don't get it.
Well, one of Chris's friends had a pulmonary edema. Or pulmonary embolism, actually.
And pulmonary embolism.
Blood clots and...
See, pulmonary embolisms don't make sense to me either because it's something that is usually experienced by truck drivers who are in a seat and not moving very much for a very long period of time, and they end up getting a blood clot in their leg. Because that's what my grandpa died from.
Yeah, but... My grandpa died of a heart attack when he was in his, like, 30s. Either his 30s or 40s. He was really young. But, yeah, no. But his friend had a pulmonary embolism when he was, like, 20-something.
Okay, never mind. Pulmonary edema is not what I thought it was. That can happen from a lot of different things, but a lot of times that happens from, like, pneumonia or things like that where you get excess fluid in the lungs. So that makes sense. An embolism doesn't make sense because that's usually someone who's very sedentary and usually overweight, and that's where they end up getting it because they have a blood clot that just... doesn't allow blood to travel to their heart and their brain. But it's not common in young people. It's really not. Like I said, most of the people that die from it are truck drivers. Because they're in one spot sedentary for a long period of time. They're not eating great because they're on the road all the time. That's where that comes from. But yeah, pulmonary edema. Next is Pete Ham. He was the keyboard and guitarist for Badfinger, which another... great band name.
Hi, this is now a reviewing band name podcast.
Yeah. His one was really sad. This one made me sad, and when I did my notes last time, I remember I cried a little bit. He died April 24th, 1975 of suicide by hanging, and he died 3 days before his 28th birthday.
I always hate when they're really close to like their birthdays where it's like, oh, you almost made it.
It's they almost made it. They almost weren't in the 27 club, but then it's like, what? I don't know. I get terrified around my birthday. I hate it. I don't like aging. And like, I don't know. I just it makes sense to me, I guess, in my brain, kind of a little bit. But it makes me really sad when it's some of these that died from like suicide, because it's like, you were so young.
Cue that online therapy
And that's why I use BetterHelp.
help.
That would be the greatest Segu we ever. Also, I love calling
I'm
Segway
sorry. I'm sorry. Hold on. The greatest what?
Segu. One of the podcasts I listened to, and that's why we drink, the first time one of them saw it written down in their notes, they said, they were like, and this is a nice Segu, and they were like, wait, what? And they were like, Segu. They didn't know it was pronounced Segway, so now I call Segway Segu.
Bro, I was concerned for like 5 seconds. I was like, no, we're not gonna speed over this. I need you to
No,
bring
I
it
know what it
back.
is, but I just think it's really funny seeing it written down because it doesn't look like it's pronounced. And then
Oh no, it
literally
doesn't.
thinking it is pronounced Segu. I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, continue.
So next is Gary Thayne. He was the bassist for another great band name, Keith Hartley Band.
All right.
Yeah. Died December 8th, 1975 of a heroin overdose. Next is Cecilia. She's like a Madonna-esque type person where it's just the one name. She died of August, or she died August 2nd, 1976 of a car accident. Next is Helmut Kohlen, KO with the umlaut over it, LLEN. He was the bassist for Triumvirate. And he died May 3rd, 1977 of carbon monoxide poisoning. Chris Bell, singer-songwriter and guitarist of Big Star, died December 27th, 1978 of a car accident. Zenon Duflo, guitarist for Count Bishops, died March 17th, 1979 of complications, medical complications after a car accident. And those are who I have for until the 80s.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I wasn't following along. I'm sorry. Jesus. Well, thanks. I hated it.
Thanks. Yours next week is
Like,
going to be a lot rougher because I'm going to cry. I'm
I know. I know you are.
going to cry multiple
I know
times.
you are, but whatever. Oh, I guarantee you're gonna cry at least 5 times during the Amy Winehouse stuff.
Well, the Amy Winehouse one, I cried pretty much the whole time. And then I also cried during the Anton Yelchin one. God. That just adorable, that adorable baby. He seems so much younger than everyone else.
He does, 'cause he's just like a
He
child.
just has the biggest
And he's
baby
got that
face.
baby
He is so
face.
precious, but then realizing he's 27 at the time of his death, I was like, you're a baby.
That's a child.
And as a child. I mean, I don't know, as someone who's 22, I still think of myself as a child. I don't know if you feel like that at 23.
Yeah, sometimes I do, but then Chris and I'll say things like we're getting married and we're gonna file our taxes jointly, and so like that makes us feel older. And then like I go, oh yeah, I have a 401k, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, who the fuck am I, you
God, I had
know?
a 401k at 16 because Harris Teeter gave us a 401k. That was weird. I had to cash out my 401k when I quit. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the pre-80s because now it's going to get to the time when we were all alive and we're all going to be sad.
Yeah, but I'm usually sad anyway, so
I mean,
like.
I'm going to be more sad than usual today.
Right, well, Chris, would you like to sit here with us for our closing?
Sure.
Okay, baby, do you know when our episodes drop?
Wednesday.
It is Wednesdays.
Right.
And Sam.
Okay, here, let's do our closings.
Oh,
Okay.
I was gonna just move on from there.
All right, that's fine. You can edit me going, oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Sam, where can they find us on the social medias?
Yeah, we are available on Instagram and Twitter at Wine and Weirdos. You get a lot more interaction with us on there, and you get to see cute photos that we post occasionally. And that's again at Wine and Weirdos. We also have a Facebook, which is Wine and Weirdos Podcast. I did some same shameless self-promoting in almost every group that asks for shameless self-promoting. Someone was having a discussion about moths the other day and Mothman, and I was like, oh hey, can I just slide in with my Mothman patron cryptid?
We have a podcast, and Mothman is our mascot. Mothman with a glass of wine.
And Alexis, what's something really exciting we have?
Got a fucking Patreon. Pew, 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 pew. Chris, you got to do the pew, 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 pew. It's a thing.
Pew, pew, pew,
Thank you.
pew. Yeah. Pew, pew.
We have a Patreon. You can find it in the link in our link tree, or you can find it on Wine and Weirdos podcast on Patreon. We have our two tiers, Winers and Weirdos. You can get lots of cool stuff like outtakes, show notes, merch discounts, all of that jazzy jazz, and you can support us because I want to get new microphones because I hate my microphone. Thank you. And you can also start donating to our fund of us going to the Queen Mary, and by us, I mean I'm going to the Queen Mary, Sam is staying at the Holiday Inn down the road.
Holiday Inn, do I look like a broke bitch?
Honey, we have a podcast with three patrons. Yes, we look like broke bitches.
I don't stay in Holiday Inns.
Sorry. Sorry. Motel 8. Okay, Sam, what's another really cool thing we got going on?
We have a website. It's a wineandweirdos.wordpress.com. And if you go onto there, you can actively watch me murder Alexis in a Motel 8.
Yeah, just we have a suggestion box in there where you can send us an e like a form, and you can just request the link to join Patreon to see the video of Sam murdering me. Oh, look, there's Boots.
Boots will eat your dead body.
He would. That's the problem. My dad was very aware of it because we were talking about someone that like animals that ate their owners, and he was like, "Oh, Boots would eat me without hesitation. He wouldn't even wait for you to be cold."
He's just waiting for your pulse to stop so he can go.
I'm honestly surprised he hasn't tried to eat me yet.
He's a good boy. I love
Shithead.
him. Look at my son.
Shithead.
Don't bully my son. Fuck you.
Shithead. Hold on, Boots gets to join us for the
No.
He's like, why am I
All
here?
right, Alexis, if they have any stories or pet photos or drink recommendations or anything like that, where should they send that?
You can send them to our email, our fancy smancy email that I check constantly because I like seeing things. That is wineandweirdospodcast@gmail.com. He's hating everything about his life right now. Belly, 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 belly. Yaddy, 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 yaddy.
Yaddy, 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 yaddy.
Thank you for that input.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, baby. Well, you have we there's one more question. Baby, do you know where they can find all of the information we just threw at them if they forget about it? Yes, you actually have to type in everything Boots just said. Release him.
I love him so much.
Away. Yeah, Chris, where can they find all this information if they forget it?
Description.
You're close. Oh, it says where can they find it?
You can find it all in our link tree in our bio where we have all of the information we just threw at you with Boots also screaming at you. And you can also find petitions, GoFundMe links, that kind of stuff. We keep it updated. You can find all kinds of things there. Sam, you got anything else to say?
That's all from me and from Emma and Chris.
Boots, you got anything else to
do
say?
Do you have anything else to add?
He's good. He's eating.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
And happy hauntings.
Happy hauntings.
Happy hauntings, Chris. Say it with us now. Happy hauntings.
Happy hauntings.
Woo!
Happy hauntings.